You do not need some church ceremony to tell you that you have now become born into the family of God. That is the ministry of the Holy Ghost. And if you came to this church applying for a membership, I would ask you, have you been born again? Not are you joining to be born again. It has to be the evidence, the work of the Spirit of God within your own soul.
Well, welcome back to Let the Bible Speak today. We thank you for joining with us day by day, week by week here on this station to bring you the message of the gospel. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, minister of the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We are a part of the Free Presbyterian Church in North America. You can go to our website, fpcna.org, and you'll get all the details of our whole denomination. But today we want to continue our message on Be Not Silent, and it's the whole matter of God ministering individually, one-to-one, to our souls. The Psalm 28 states, "Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock, be not silent to me." And it is that very plea of the psalmist that I want us to look at today. Be not silent to me. Christianity is not just a set of theories, doctrines, truths that are dry as dust. It is a living experience with the living Lord Jesus Christ. Because Christ rose from the dead, he is now the head of the church, and it is our personal faith, union with him, that makes us to be children of God. So you cannot just put your Christianity in a safety deposit box and say, well, I'm saved now and secure for eternity. This is a living walk. It is a living life of communing, fellowshipping with the Savior. And I can't emphasize this enough. But in the message today, we're going to come to all of this. As the Word comes to your heart, I pray that you will see the urgency, you will see the absolute need of personal saving faith in the Lord Jesus, where you are born again and he comes to live within your heart. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives because he lives within my heart. That's the testimony of every born-again Christian. It is the testimony of everyone that has been regenerated by the Spirit, and there is this personal fellowship, this personal walk and talk with the Savior. And the psalmist prayed, "Be not silent to me, lest I be like them that go down to the pit." The ungodly never hear the voice of God. They are never effectually called. They are left, and God is silent to them. Oh, what a pitiful state. May the Lord minister to our hearts today through this message.
Now, note that David in Psalm 28 was not satisfied with hearing, without hearing God's voice in his soul. He reasons and he argues with God, and he pleads with God that this will not become the state of his soul. Oh, do not be silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I be like them that go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle. Draw me not away with the wicked. That's the last thing that he wants. And so he has learned that he must needs enter into real prayer and plead with God and reason with God that he is not left in this empty state. The second way in which God speaks to your soul is by the ministry of the Spirit. When you're saved, you are born again and you are adopted into God's family. Now, what does the Bible say about the evidence of this adoption? Now, a natural adoption, there is legal work, there's papers and certificates and documents that back up the whole process of adopting a child into your family. Likewise, when you become a Christian, you're adopted into God's family. And what is the evidence? Well, turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Sonship, led by the Spirit, Romans 8:14. Romans 8:15 now. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. What right have you or I to call the God of heaven our Father, our Heavenly Father? It is by this work of the Spirit, witnessing to our hearts that we are the children of God, the sons of God. The Spirit itself, this is verse 16 now, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You don't need me to tell you that you're born again. You know it. You know it. You do not need some church ceremony to tell you that you have now become born into the family of God. That is the ministry of the Holy Ghost. And if you came to this church applying for membership, I would ask you, have you been born again? Not are you joining to be born again? It has to be the evidence, the work of the Spirit of God within your own soul. Now it is in this relation that the Lord has promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And in the loneliest times of our journey in life, in the deepest, darkest valleys, the Lord says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's ever with us. And you can cry to the Lord, you can pray in a dungeon, on a mountaintop, in a cave, in the oceans. You have the voice of God in your soul at all times because you have the adoption spirit and you have the ministry of the Spirit to your heart. We also hear God's voice through reading the written word, the Bible. And the more that I have this summer looked at the false religions and cults that are all around us, the more time I've given to looking into those strange, weird, and confusing things, the more thankful I am for my Bible. I assure you. And while I have endeavored over these Sunday evenings to bring biblical truth side by side with all the confusion of other religions, it was no joy to my soul to spend hours and hours reading and researching into all the fallacies of man-made religion. It becomes a wearisome to the flesh. But how precious this Bible becomes when I discover that here is truth, because it's not only an accurate book, it is not only an historical book, it is not only filled with biographies of great men and women, it is a living book. This word speaks to the soul. That's the wonder of the Bible. It's not just a book. It's not just accurate to all the findings of men that would try to corroborate with it. But as I handle this book, it handles me, searches me. In the Psalm 19:7, we are told that the entrance of thy word, it is the converting of the soul. This word is seed. It's living, it's germinated, and it brings forth a harvest in the soul. Would you turn with me to the Psalm 119? Here is, I think, the greatest defense of God's word in all of the Bible, Psalm 119. Now, this is the longest chapter in the Bible, so we're by no means going to look at all of this, but there are some points in this, I think, that really prove the point that this is a powerful, living word by which God speaks to men's soul. Psalm 119, verse 1, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Oh, a blessing. There's a blessing. The word blessing means multiplied happiness. Let me tell you, this book will bring blessedness into your life. Neglect the book and it'll bring misery to your life. Then in verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. This Bible will keep me from my sin. And the other side of that coin is that my sin will keep me from the Bible. When you're not enjoying your Bible, it's usually traced to sin in your heart. But when you're enjoying your Bible, you will hate sin with a holy hatred. It will work a sanctifying, purifying, cleansing work in your soul. Verse 105, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my pathway. Oh, what a power this word is. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Do you want to walk in the light of God, in the center of His will? That's how you do it. And then verse 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. I have known men, some of them have become elders of churches, who never had a proper education. They grew up in rural agricultural societies where they finished school at age 13 or 14. They were basically what the world in academia would say today were illiterate men. They could read a little bit, and the book they knew was their Bible. And it gave wisdom to the simple that would outstrip the learning of men. This word in its purity and simplicity is a word that gives great wisdom. A poll has said that Americans, the majority of Americans, revere the Bible. But the same poll asked another question, and not many people read their Bible. That's the tragedy. I wonder, is it true in part with us today? We have this great book, this great means by which God speaks to the soul. But the word is neglected. How much Bible study do you do? I mean, real meditating, thinking time in your Bible. When everything else is shut off and you're alone with your Bible and God speaks to your heart. And let me tell you, in our society of multimedia everything, this is a training exercise for us all. We have to learn how to train the ear to read and hear the Word of God. It may be strange at first. It may be difficult at first. But as you give real time to this Word, you will hear God's voice. And you will find this book coming alive in your own soul and your own life.
Across the waves.
Another way that God speaks is through the preached word. God has ordained from the beginning of time not only the written word, but the preaching of the word. Now, in preaching, the Bible is set alive. It is the Spirit's work to take the preacher and to set him on fire with the living word of God to speak to you about your soul. It's more than academic, it is spiritual. I think of that text in Mark 16:20 where the Lord sent out his disciples to preach the word to the world, and it says, the Lord working with them. And that's the promise the preacher has, that when we take this book and preach its truths, God works with us. There's a help that is beyond human wisdom and strength. And God, by His Spirit, takes that word and uses it in hearts. Now, we know that the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish, but it is the power of God to them that believe. Now, the preaching of the cross is a far wider thing than always mentioning Calvary, Calvary, Calvary. The preaching of the cross is the whole scope of the faith and the ministry of Christ. And as we preach that gospel, it is the power of God. So every time you walk through those doors, take your seat and hear the preaching of the word. There is a divine power at work, which God uses. And He channels that in our hearts and lives to save sinners, to sanctify us people, and to increase our faith and knowledge. Now, only the fool would opt out and neglect the means, this means that God has ordained. Only the fool would say, oh, I find that boring. Only the fool would enter into the thing that David feared, to be like them that go down to the pit. Only the fool would say, I don't want a ministry where I'm faced with the word of God to hear God's voice. I don't want a convicting ministry. I don't want a convincing ministry. I don't want a troubling ministry to my soul. That's to be like them that go down to the pit, the thing that David feared. And so the gathering of God's people to hear the preaching of the word is a sacred, a holy, and a supernatural work. And Christians love to be under a ministry where they can pray, Lord, use the preacher to speak to my soul. God knows our needs. He knows the things that we need to deal with, the needs, the things that we need to be done with, and the things that we need to grasp and cling to. Lord, use the preaching to deal with me. And of course, the Christian wants their children to be under a ministry where God is speaking. I want my sons and daughters to be under that word whereby they will have an ear for the very voice of God, lest my children be like them that go down to the pit. That becomes the burden of every godly mother and father. I want my boys, I want my girls, I want them to hear God's voice, because if they don't, they're marked as the wicked. Oh, what a burden it is. And so we say, come and hear, come and hear. Now, there's one more way that God speaks, and that is through providence. God gives us the written word, but He also gives us the book of providence. And providence is important to the Christian. It was Abram's servant who said, I be in the way the Lord led me. And you know that he came and he found a wife for Isaac. She came out and she watered the sheep, and the Lord providentially guided Abram's servant. We can be provoked also by providence, by other Christians who become finger posts in our lives. And I've said it before, I say it again, the greatest thing that can ever happen to a person is to meet and to come into the company of a living, Bible-believing Christian. The greatest thing can happen to you. Becomes a finger post to you. And God in His providence has brought someone into your life, a real living Christian, so that this book now is a living book to be known and read of all men by the way they walk and talk and witness to your soul. Let me ask you, is there someone acting as a finger post to you today that God has sent along to speak to you about being a Christian? That's God's providence. Now, God has other ways of working in providence. It could be the tragedy of life, a broken leg, disease or sickness, the funeral. I don't think anyone could go to a funeral and not recognize that this is the voice of God. Life is short, uncertain. Is God speaking to you by these means? Let me tell you, that is the precious gift. And David was so thankful for it. And he was fearful that he would do anything that would deny or lessen the voice of God in his soul, lest I be like them that go down to the pit. Thank God that he speaks in this world to us. He hasn't left us. If he left us, we're finished. I have another major point I can't preach, and that's the rewards of hearing God's voice. The assurance of salvation, knowing God's will, deliverance from evil. God hears us when we pray because we listen to His voice. He hears our voice. He puts strength into our soul, and He rewards us with joyfulness. It's all in this psalm, by the way. You can read it for yourself. The rewards of listening to God's voice. First one, assurance of salvation. Let me tell you, the person to whom God has stopped speaking has no assurance of salvation, no witness of the Spirit, no spirit of sonship. God's not speaking. That's why David feared that. And if you're born again, you will fear that. And if you're not hearing God's voice, you need to be saved. And you need to come and say, Lord, save me from the pit. Jesus died on the cross to save sinners. Save me. That's God's delight, to save His people. I pray today that you will take this verse, Psalm 28:1. Let it ring in your heart as God's voice to your soul. This is the Lord knocking at your heart's door and saying, if any man open the door, I will come into him and sup with him. And he with me. Any man that opens the door and hears my voice, will you come to Christ today? Give him your heart now. Be saved this hour. And if I can help you in that urgent need, please speak with me after.
Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher, and I really appreciate the opportunity to minister the Lord's Word, and I hope that the message today has been a blessing. And in our next program, we'll continue on with this theme of Be Not Silent Unto Me from the pulpit ministry of our church here in Cloverdale. Now, I'm holding in my hand this little booklet again, Sin, Pardon for Sin, and Assurance of Peace with God, and I'm looking at page 12, Salvation Free to All. I want to read you these excerpts and then recommend that you send for this booklet. It will be a blessing and a help to all. When Noah's Ark was finished, he and his family had to step into the ark or perish in the flood. It was just a step, but it had to be taken. When the destroying angel passed over Egypt, he passed by each door where the blood was sprinkled. So the blood of Christ must be sprinkled on your heart. As the burnt offering was sacrificed to atone for sin, so we must honestly confess our sins to God and lay them upon Jesus. Otherwise, we can never be saved. How do you get the death of Christ as an atonement for your sins? Just by taking it by faith, in simple dependence on His faithful promises. Jesus offers His death to you this moment as an atonement for all your sins. Taking His offer of pardon simply means confessing your sins to Him and then saying, Lord Jesus, You offer your death to me to atone for my sins. Here and now I accept your offer. I take your death as an atonement for my sins, and I take you as my Savior. One day a poor weak man was walking along a road carrying a heavy burden. After a while a strong man came along and said, "That burden is too heavy for you. Give it to me, and I will carry it for you, and I will give you rest from it." Then the poor weak man handed over the burden to the strong man. So I was carrying the load of my sins, and Jesus came along and said, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee." And I just gave my load of sin to him, and he has taken it. If you seek him by simple faith, soon you shall say with rejoicing, "I found him whom my soul loveth." Read the promises. Jesus made sin for us. We are made his righteousness. God beseeches us to be reconciled to him. Jesus prays for us. What promises to encourage you to receive by faith the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord? Let me send you this little booklet, Pardon for Sin and Assurance of Peace with God through our Lord Jesus. Free to you in the mail. Give me a call, 1-800-969-1091, or email through the website www.cloverdalefpc.ca. May the Lord bless you through his word. May the grace of God fill your heart. And I trust that you'll be a regular listener at this time on this station. And may the Lord draw near to bless you richly. Stay tuned for the details of our announcements. And of course, we give you a warm invitation to hear the word of God preached here in our church. May the Lord minister in great. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Call me, please, at 604-897-2040. For all the details of our broadcasts across Canada, go to ltbs.ca.
This broadcast comes to you today from the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, located at 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca, and there you can find gospel articles, links to our sermons, a gospel booklet called A New Beginning, and a link to watch our services online. You're warmly invited to attend any of our Sunday services at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. to meet with us as we worship God and to hear the preaching of his precious word. We also meet for Bible study and prayer every Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Our Sunday School for Children and Adult Bible class meet every Lord's Day at 9:30 a.m. from September to June. You can contact us at 604-567-1091. Alternatively, you can email me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. Again, for all this information, please visit our website at cloverdalefpc.ca. Our burden is that you will hear and understand the gospel that will bring you to know the Lord Jesus Christ and his great salvation. This is Pastor Andrew Fitton. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to listen Monday to Friday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our one-hour church service as we worship the Lord through the ministry of his word.